We are back on a Victory Tuesday after a triumphant Monday night football win. So without any further ado, we're going to let the music play. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. That's the good stuff right there. And we are here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thank you all for joining us. Whether you're on Facebook Live, on Twitch or YouTube, or on any of our podcast providers, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Music, Podcaster, Castro, Stitcher, and so many others. Now that we've got all that out of the way, I'm almost tempted just to rip the headphones off and run around screaming because I didn't get to do a lot of that last night because the game was on so late. And to be quite honest with you, I was still nervous throughout the game. It's just the way I am. It's I'm waiting for that shoe to drop, especially where Gannon's defense is concerned. So the second half when we started playing around with him, I was just kind of a little bit nervous. But you know, regardless, we are 2-0, baby. Jalen Hurts, and an amazing performance that we're going to talk about during this podcast, is just taking total control of the team, and the Eagles are now 2-0 in the group of undefeateds, which are not, they're not that many undefeateds after 2 weeks, which is surprising. You know, this is it. Six teams are undefeated right now. Of course, you got Buffalo that looked outstanding in the game right before the Eagles with the domination of the Titans. Oh my gosh, that was brutal. The Buccaneers kind of shaky, Chiefs looking good. Dolphins, amazing comeback win against the Ravens, which was outstanding as well. My son is a huge Dolphins fan. He was losing his mind. And then you got the G-men who are in the NFC East. Two of these teams in the NFC East. And if you look at the other two teams in the NFC East, the Cowboys and the Commanders are 1-1. So the NFC East is looking pretty good right now. But you know who's
below 500.
Exactly. But you know who's really looking good right now? Our Eagles, man. How can you describe last night's game, the Monday Nighter?
You know, it was very comforting. It was comforting to know that that when we play at our peaks, we look very dangerous, man. You know, I don't want to, you know, it's week two, still a long season to go, but man, it was just really good to see. Basically, it's been good to see Jalen Hurts play so well, basically from the second drive of the Lions game up until even now. You know, he's just really controlling the offense, like you mentioned, bringing us in. And our defense, finally, man, we always knew that our offense could move the ball and score. Now they don't know where it's coming from. The teams don't know where it's coming from. And we make the defense look really off balance. And we, you know, get into the coverages or like how the Vikings play this on defense. I think a lot of that came from at a point they didn't know what was coming, which was very different from last year when you know the RPO is coming, when you know it's maybe a screen or a slant. So I thought that Sirianni did a good job or Shane did a good job at calling a really, really, really good first half of football. And on the defensive side, man, I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better outcome from the secondary. You know, these guys have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. Irv Smith has emerged as a talent out there, a nice little tight end. You know, even though he gifted us some balls, he dropped the big one for us. Yes, I appreciate you. But but overall, man, I was really excited, man. It was a joy to watch, man. It was a real joy to watch the Birds play last night, man. And really excited for them to go to 2-0. Yes, sir.
I agree. The way the game came out, you know, a lot of people were expecting it to be a close fought game. I expected that. And a big part of the reason for that is, like you said, it was Jonathan Gannon's defense. I said it before we went off the air. The reason I had a hard time picking the Eagles in this game was because I don't trust him. He relies too much on that soft zone. But what I was not expecting was for the defensive coordinator of the Vikings to run the same exact, if not worse, coverage on the Eagles. And now I'm not giving them the total credit for the Eagles' domination, but you can't overlook the fact that they were 10 yards off the ball on just about every play, playing that shell coverage, deep zone. You played right into Jalen Hurts' hands because you're not even covering Jalen Hurts' running game at this point. All you're trying to do is stop the Eagles run, and you're not even doing a very good job of that. I was surprised, and like Troy Aikman said during the game, that they're not switching, that they're not switching up their defense. Now, granted, they shut the Eagles out in the second half, but I think we can both admit the Eagles were kind of in ball control mode at that time, and there was a couple of things that didn't go their way.
Yeah.
I think yeah, I think if the Eagles would have been in a fight, in a dogfight, they would have changed it up a little bit. But they were running the ball where they probably should have thrown, and then, you know, you had some issues. But overall, the defense of the Vikings gave so many open holes in the zone. And was it not amazing or beautiful to see that we have more than one receiver than A.J. Brown in this game?
Right.
And to see DeVonta Smith and Quez Watkins, you know, come out of nowhere. And, you know, it was Darius Slay that said it during the press conference last week. You know, he was talking about all three guys, and he called them, they're all three Batman. And we wanted to see that on the field. And there's the score, 24-7, and you got all three Batman. You got A.J., DeVonta, and Quez, and they all showed up. They all showed up, and it was that. And even Goddard, you could throw Goddard in there. You know, Darius said there was no Robbins. They were all Batman, but maybe Goddard, could you throw him in there as a Robin or something? Because he had some great plays.
Yeah, he did, man. And when you look at the like how the defense was playing, even I think one thing that may have been overlooked was it's one thing when you're just trying to stop Jalen Hurts, but when you have to stop the Philadelphia Eagles, I think that's what a defense looks like. When I said earlier, they don't know what's coming. For instance, Jalen Hurts came out throwing dimes, man. He started 11 for 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just red hot.
Before his first completion,
So, and that first completion was when Goddard got the ball stripped out. It was a hell of a play.
Right.
But Goddard could have caught that ball.
Yep.
So the first, and then he tried one to A.J. Brown for like his official missed pass, you know, of the game. Right. But, person that wasn't on there that is also playing well for it is Goddard. Goddard still making very key plays, man, on the offense for us, man. So what I thought Jalen did well, and what made the Vikings kind of have to sit back, is one, he was throwing the ball with good timing on it. So now you're like, okay, we have to sit back on it. Now we have to play almost like a little Tampa too. So we're sitting back on it, but now they're running the ball well. So even if you come up, now you're getting beat by A.J. Brown. So I believe our offense opened up those holes on the defense, because when you tried to play Jalen man, then he ran on you. So when you played man, you know, the touchdown that he scored, that was for man, right? You see the guy guarding Goddard, right? Goddard takes him away, but you see there's nobody out there because now they're in man, because they tried zone and they've been picked apart. Now you're in man, and now Jalen's running for a touchdown on you. That's when you're playing against the Eagles and you're not just trying to stop a player, because they were just trying to stop Jalen. They would have been ready for that run. They would have been ready for him to roll out and take off with it. This is what happens when you can have a nice balanced offense, when you go out and get an A.J. Brown to complement a DeVonta Smith. This is what everything is happening, man. And when you have a Miles Sanders that's averaging over 4 yards a carry, he stayed true to that last night. Ran the ball really well. Bart Scott had really good runs as well, too. But Miles Sanders looked like the starting running back last night, hands down. You know, he did what we needed him to do. All the backs played well. You know, Gainwell had that one little – it was a rush pass, but he still should have caught it. You know, it hits both of your hands. But it's a tough pass when you're that small over those guys, and it's coming a little hot. But I thought because we were able to run the ball in man, and able to pass in zone. I just think they played 10 yards off the ball and just said, hey, man, let's just see what's coming. Let's just try to keep them in front of us. Because when they tried to come up too much, they got hit over the top of the head by Quez.
Right.
That kept them so off balance. We hit them everywhere on the side of the field, in the middle of the field, deep, and we ran the ball really well. I just think they went to a base defense just to try to see if they could stop something, because they also weren't getting that much pressure on Jalen on the line as well, too. The line was blocking well. And, you know, just starting out, the offense just played really well. Had a lot of penalties. This is what made Jalen even play so much better. He was going through that even after penalties. We'll make a good play, come back. But he's like just persevered through all of those penalties, you know, even all those setbacks in the first half. Three down the field, three ineligible players down the field. It's like unbelievable, you know, for that offensive line. I think they had five penalties going into the third quarter. So we clean up those penalties, man. We may even score faster because some of those drives were delayed by penalties. So, yeah, man, just, you know, talking about the Vikings defense, I think that was a result of the Eagles utilizing their weapons efficiently. And I think that's what kind of put them in just a base coverage, just to try to stop the bleeding, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, everything you say is true. Yeah, the penalties were bad. Again, it's something we've talked about with the offensive line, that we've got an amazing offensive line. And if they can clean up those penalties, it's going to be even better for us. Dickerson had two ineligible man downfield, and I forget who had the other one. I think it was maybe Sam Malo. That's what I thought. Then we had the holding on Mailata that negated a really great play from Gainwell that got him down the field. You know, and there was things like that put him in a bad spot. But even in spite, like you said, in spite of all of that, that first half was complete and utter domination by the offense. It was a great play calling by Shane Stichen ever since he's taken all the play calling duties. And this is exactly what was advertised in the offseason when I was learning about Jalen Hurts, was that they were bringing in more plays for him to expand on his repertoire as far as what he could do as a quarterback. Because we all know his athletic ability. But one of the things that the reason that we've talked about it this offseason, the reason we were on board last season, is that this guy is a worker. He loves the sport. He studies the sport. You see during the broadcast, the stuff of his, the freaking back press, the freaking 600 pounds when he was at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, the things that he does, they talk about him constantly looking to get better. This is what you want. Studying in the off season, studying with Tom Brady, finding out how to read defenses. And you got to understand people that don't understand, the haters don't understand, is that this is only the second full year of this guy. You know, Aikman described it as similar to Russell Wilson in his maturation with the Seahawks. And this is what we're seeing with Jalen Hurts right now. And it really kind of, we talked about it last year, it kind of upset us that there was so many people that just didn't want to give this guy any time at all when he was only in his first full year as a starter. And you could see the dynamic in the arm strength isn't there. The accuracy isn't there. Well, you know, take a look at the play to Quez Watkins right there. I mean, Quez, just beautiful down the field. And it would happen so quickly. Yeah. And he's on the other side of the 40 when Jalen Hurts lets that go. And Quez gets behind the defense. And that's why I think when Jalen put his crossed arms like that, it was a statement to everyone that has doubted his arm strength, his accuracy, and his leadership ability. I think all three of those things in the game last night were check, check, check. He's got them all. So I'm going to say this to anybody that listens to the podcast, anybody that's an Eagles fan that's tuning into us for the first time. If you're a Hurts hater, this is your last chance to get on the bandwagon for Jalen Hurts. This is it, because we've been on it. I mean, I told you when I got this jersey, I got this jersey. I'm all in. I am all in. I am ready for this to be the year of Jalen Hurts, and I believed in it, and I don't want to hear it anymore. Because which one? Sorry. The same picture?
Back. I'm sorry.
No worries. The clip, yeah.
Yeah, the one since went back up. No, go ahead. I was just going to make a point. Like, you see You see right here, you see it's a good picture of Jalen being right there in the pocket, standing tall and making the throw.
Yeah.
And right now he's ranked fifth in the NFL in the pocket right now. It's two games. It's a small sample size.
Yeah.
It's two games. But the Vikings were picked as one of the favorites in the NFC, and we made them look amateur. I mean, to stop, I didn't even know Dalvin Cook was in the game for the most part. Yeah. I didn't even see Thielen until the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, but completely erased these guys.
To finish the point is that Jalen Hurts put out this tweet after the game, and it's the name of the episode here. It's the crossed arms, but it hurts, don't it? And that's just his way of, I think it's telling everyone that he's here to stay. And I think the people that always kind of knew there was something special with there, this just reinforces that belief. But what did we hear about the Eagles going into the season? Why they weren't considered one of the favorites by any of the major networks or the sports networks was because they didn't know how good Jalen was going to play this year. We felt it. We talked about it in all the offseason. We were more worried about how the defense was going to play than we were worried about Jalen Hurts. And we saw it in the Detroit game, and now we're seeing it more. He's second in the league in passing after two games, and he's running. He's doing it all. I mean, and so all I can say at this point is one of the things that I saw when the game started, and I noticed these things, is that when they panned around the Philly crowd, there wasn't very many one jerseys out there. Mm. And I was like, why? You know, McNabb came up and now McNabb went right to the playoffs and had the playoff win against Chicago and went to the NFC Championship game. So everybody kind of got on board with McNabb fairly quickly. But McNabb was given this treatment, you know, Wentz right away, everybody had the Wentz jerseys, but for some reason, a good portion of the Philadelphia fans have not bought into Jalen Hurts. Well, it's time. It is time. If you look at this stat, Jalen Hurts is the first player in NFL history to throw for 300 plus yards, completing 80% of his passes and run for multiple touchdowns in a single game. If that doesn't get you against what is considered one of the better defenses in the league with Daniil Harris, you know,
absolutely
all of those guys. And yet Jalen does this. And it just, to me, it's the point where, like I said, it is the time for the bandwagon to pull away. You're either on board or you're not. I don't want to hear you criticizing this guy. It's always all right to criticize players, but I'm saying if you're an Eagles fan after what he's done for this team, if you're going to criticize this guy now, then you're off the bandwagon. When they win it, and it may not be this year, but this guy, his number one goal is to win a championship. And when they win it, you're going to be too late if you wait on this guy. We've said it since we've started covering the Eagles. He's special. We knew he's special. A lot of other people haven't bought into it. We're starting to hear more of them buying into it today. We'll see. And just look, this is just a diagram of his stats from Monday night. 26 of 31 for 333. He had a touchdown. He had an interception, which was just bad, like you mentioned. It shouldn't have been. It was a bad play call to that middle screen. Yeah. It was the area was too clogged. Gainwell, it wasn't a bad ball from Hurts. Hit him in the hands. He just tipped it up to Hicks, which sucks. Hicks, Jordan Hicks, our former Eagle linebacker, but we're good. We miss Jordan, but we don't need Jordan anymore. But yeah, that's the one bad play was that interception. Really, the one bad play of the entire game.
Part of these stats that you see are basically what Jalen hasn't had in a long time, and that's consistency with the plays. Second year with Sirianni, remember, it's always kind of been the story. Like, man, you know, Hurts has had to learn a new offense every season that he's played since high school, basically. I think these are a part of it. You know, he can come in next year. He's not getting a new script, so he can actually know what to work on. When you are constantly having to change the philosophy of the offense, you know, every coach is going to bring in a different philosophy, you know, on how they want their offense ran, the audibles, the check downs, the reads in certain coverages. Every coach is going to be real specific on that, of how they want their offense to run. So I think, man, part of it is it's him being in the same offense. in year two, which a lot of quarterbacks get, you know. And I'll say this on the other end. Maybe Kirk Cousins struggled last night, not only because he's Kirk Cousins. And I mean, he's just not a primetime quarterback. 2-10 now, remains the worst, increases his, you know, moves up even further as the worst quarterback in primetime in NFL history, man, 2-10. But they're the new coach. They have a new coach. Mm-hmm. You know, so young guy from the LA Rams, McConnell. Mm-hmm. Won a Super Bowl with the Rams. He's 37. Boom, got a new job. Those things could be playing in there because they didn't make adjustments. The Vikings didn't make adjustments on defense and on offense.
Exactly.
They couldn't stop us because one thing we didn't get into yet was the blitz.
Right.
You know, we blitzed, 11 times? And they were really efficient, man. A lot of those throws, Kirk Cousins, we still didn't get that front four pressure like we want. We've been getting those blitzes in, and they kind of made him throw. Slade could have had 5 interceptions last night, mm-hmm. if we're being perfectly honest. Slade could have had about 5 interceptions. I think Slade touched the ball more than the Vikings. At some point, it just looked like every ball, number two, was just in the area, making a play on it. And, just rushing Kirk Cousins. And probably one of the only mistakes that we made, remember they got that face mask on Kirk Cousins. It was man, he had already gave up, and you still bringing him down by his face mask. That's such a waste of a sack opportunity that you guys need. So, you know, but the defense, man, it's hard to say anything bad about the defense. You know, to be able to limit Justin Jefferson is a feat, man. It's a feat. What was his numbers he had? We can bring up the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, you can look at the stats here real quick. The thing about, like you said, about the defense is I will give Jonathan Gannon credit. I always admit when I'm wrong in certain situations. My only thing about this defense is that, he brought the blitz more than we've seen probably since he's been in Philadelphia. And one of the things that I thought was key, and so here's the numbers for the receiving right here. We had Adam Thielen led the team with 4 receptions for 52 yards, and Jefferson 6 receptions for 48. Considering he was coming off that 180, 185 or whatever against Green Bay, which led the league last week. And, you know, Kirk Cousins himself, 27-46 for 58% completion, 221 yards and 3 interceptions. Not a great day at all. I mean, if you look, even go to the right and look at their defensive numbers, Harrison Smith had 13 solo tackles, but other than that, there wasn't really, and Eric Kendricks did okay, but other than that, they weren't stopping the Eagles at all. So the Eagles defense dominated in all phases of the game, which is what you want. I mean, like you said earlier, you didn't even realize Dalvin Cook was out there. Kirk Cousins led the team in rushing with 2 carries for 20 yards. Dalvin Cook, 6 carries for 17 yards and a 2.8 average. Unbelievable.
Put him on their heels, man. Put him on their heels. You know, Kirk Cousins, 27-46. I mean, that's a hell of a day.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a day for the Eagles to, you know, considering any quarterback that was even of Kirk Cousins caliber or better, mm-hmm. would kill us when they came in there, would absolutely shred us. And we stopped the run, which was a problem last week. That's why I want to get a defense prop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't stop the run last week.
Nope.
As well as we should have, and we did. I mean, they really got to the ball, man. I'm really loving Epps. He is coming out of that safety position. Maddox. These guys are tacklers, man. You know, Slay isn't much of a tackler. I think he only had 1 tackle last night. He isn't much of a tackler, but he was definitely, I guess you can't make a tackle if they don't catch the ball on you, huh?
Exactly. And he missed a few where he was going for the ball and mm-hmm. it, you know, it would get to the receiver just before he got to it. He had that one against Thielen that was so close.
I love the mix. Love the mix. Because Bradbury, you see on Irv Smith, he didn't want no parts of Irv Smith. That could have been an easy third down tackle. So our corners, but our safeties and our nickels, they are bringing the boom, man, for sure. And Edwards, too, last night. I don't know if you've seen Edwards. A couple hits Edwards had.
Yeah.
They got the message from last week with those running backs because I thought Edwards had a really, really solid game as well,
same. I think the only thing that they need to work on, and I think that it's an easy fix, is Hasan Reddick in coverage is not going to get the job done. They had him against Irv Smith, and he's not a cover linebacker. They had him against Justin Jefferson at one point. It was like, what are you doing? You didn't bring, and I think even the announcer said, you did not bring this guy in here to do that. So, right. And so Gannon, going back to Gannon real quick, because I know that you don't give him as much heat as I do. I give him tons of heat, and I will continue to give him heat until he does this on a consistent basis. So this is one game, and I'm thank you, Jonathan Gannon, for hearing everybody coming after you, hearing the Vic Fangio rumors, hearing everything about your job, and really switching it up. But he's done this before. He did this last season, where he was playing in that soft zone, respecting too many quarterbacks, and then he came out against Detroit and just blitzed the heck out of them, and then, you know, we dominated that game, and he did it tonight. But the Hasan Reddick thing has got to change. When he shifted and he started letting Hasan come in on the blitz, made a huge difference. I think for me, what really excited me about Gannon's potential, and I can't even believe I put that word in a sentence, is the fact that they were in the third quarter of the game coming out and playing in that shell, you know, the deep zone defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're marching down the field. The Vikings are kind of, you know, untouched, getting almost 10 yards of play, 11 yards of play, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when they cross the 50, we bring seven guys just right off the bat, and Cousins had to throw it away. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay. That, you know, he's disguising the blitzes. One of the things I liked that Gannon did that he didn't do against the Lions and a lot last year was that he was disguising the coverages where they were lining up in a zone and then you had Bradberry and Slay playing man on the wides. Right. He had Slay playing against Justin Jefferson, you know, almost exclusively. They did switch around. He was on Thielen a little bit. But he made sure that Slay got the most of Justin Jefferson. They had to move Jefferson around to keep him away from Slay. And big play Slay lived up to his name. It was an amazing performance by every member of the defense, but especially from Darius Slay, and it's why he's an Eagle. There, if you look on the screen, there's his numbers against Justin Jefferson last night. Six targets to Justin, only one catch allowed, two INTs, and a 0.0 passer rating allowed. That's dominance by a corner against your top receiver, and you got the Justin Jefferson baby. I tell you what, there was a lot that was said going into this game about Justin Jefferson saying, you know, the Eagles could have drafted me. They didn't draft me. I'm glad they didn't draft me because I'm happier here. I'm better off here. Well, you know, Darius kind of proved something to you that maybe, maybe you're not as good off as you think you are. Because this is a good team. We don't want to say that the Vikings came in here and they suck. And it's not true. The Eagles just played their best game. And it surprised a lot of people. And again, Gannon surprised me. And I will say that if he comes out in the next game against the Commanders and he does it again, then I'll start to take notice a little bit. I will. And I'll give him a little bit of slack. I want to see, and I want to get into the preview of the Commanders game. I almost said Redskins again. I don't want to get the preview of the Commanders game, but I want to see Wentz on his back. And it's not anything against Wentz. It's not that I dislike Wentz. I liked Wentz when he was here. But this is almost as important as the Vikings game to go into Washington and put Wentz on his back. So Gannon's got a lot to work on this week.
Yeah, you know what makes, you know, we'll just talk division for a second.
Yeah.
You know what makes this week so important is that the Giants have a potential of going 4-0. Their next couple of games, I mean, they squeaked past Tennessee. They squeaked past Carolina. They have the Cowboys, I believe, this week.
Mm-hmm. Big one.
If not mistaken, they have the Cowboys this week. And then I think they have Jackson. In fact, I'm going to just bring it up. But I looked at their schedule, you know, prior, you know, to this episode. And it dawned on me. I said, man, the Giants. Oh, the Bears. Yep. So they play the Cowboys and then the Bears. They have a real shot at going 4-0. So beating the Vikings last night, That was a really big win for us, because I know they have the Packers coming up in a few weeks, and they play the Vikings later on in the season. But mm-hmm. having that win over the Vikings, where on the back end the Giants can lose to them, could prove to be a big game, because it seems that they beat, you know, we feel like we can beat them too. Mm-hmm. I think we can beat the Titans right now. And I also believe that we can beat Carolina if we played them.
I think Girl Scout Troop 1132 could beat the Titans right about now after what happened to them against the Bills. I think that when they played against the Giants, we thought they were better than they were. And the Bills are great, don't get me wrong, but 41-7, the Titans look like they have no identity right now.
Right.
And next to the Colts, they're one of the worst teams in the league, which is crazy to say so. But you're right.
Willis to get in there and start. If Tannehill doesn't change anything, they're like, we might as well move on. We got Treylon Burks, a new wide receiver, but we don't have to talk about the Titans. That was just a little blurred, but just the identity. I think they may move forward because they look real, just they didn't look like really much of anything yesterday. That was crazy when you hold Derrick Henry to 25 yards. That's a really big deal. So yeah, man, with the division, them playing the Cowboys next week and then playing the Bears, they could really come off 4-0. So this could be a race. This could be a dark horse in the division, the Giants, who nobody's really paying attention to. And then all of a sudden you turn around, they're 4-0. So this was a really good win for us, beating the Vikings. I'll say that again. And, cause we had the whole NFC North division. So, we beat one of their toughest teams out of the North, which is the Vikings, one of the most dangerous receivers in Justin Jefferson, dangerous running back Dalvin Cook. We still have, the rest of them, but, I like my chances. So that was a really good, I just can't stress enough how good of a win it was to beat the Vikings. The team that even if we end up with the same record or something like that, Vikings always hover around the same record as the Eagles. They normally aren't well out there. We normally play around the same type of, we have the same seasons for some reason. We make it to the playoffs for some reason around the same time, all that good stuff. But anyway, hell of a win, man.
Yeah.
Hell of a win. And you're right, man. Don't want to get into preview of the Commanders, but this is a big game. This is a big game. Beating the Vikings and then having that first division win, that's a start. So that's why we have so many games left. We can't get too high on this win. Can't get too high on the offense. We can never get too low on the defense, because then they bounce back and have a game like this. My emotions won't start pouring out. I won't start leaning ones until about halfway through the season. So I just want to see, it's good to know that we've made a lot of improvements on this team. We can see it from week to week so far. And, man, when the Eagles are rolling, they look really scary, man. Like, I'm not one of those guys that say, oh, my team's scary. But I was like, man, when they are clicking, they look dangerous, man. They look sometimes I'm going to say unstoppable. They just look like they're just, you don't know which way to do with it. And I think that's what put, again, the Vikings in that defense, man. I'm giving more credit to our offense than what the Vikings failed to do on a defensive end.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I thought that the Vikings really did play a horrible defensive scheme with the talent mm-hmm. that they have. But like you said, and what we've said about Jalen is that what he showed is that he again, we saw it in the Detroit game, and I mentioned it last week, is that his confidence is at another level as well, where he is not afraid to throw passes into tight windows. And, it's one of those things where that's mm-hmm. when you got this sign of that you're ready to take the next step. Carson Wentz was there with the Eagles in his second year and was building on something before his injury, and then he just kind of lost that confidence. Jalen right now, he's got that confidence, and he knows that he can trust Brown. He knows that he can trust Smith. When he came out, and he's got the vision, and a lot of people have judged him on his reads, he proved last night that he can find the open man, whether that was Devontae. And one of the things that I'll say about Jalen Hurts, and I know that this has been kind of the Jalen Hurts show for me in this episode, but I'm just going to say it out there because I've been frustrated with how the fans have been treating him. So I'm just going to say this once and for all. This is the leader of this team. You're either in or you're out. Gardner Minshew's not coming in. Sorry. If it's a race thing, it's a race thing, and that's fine. Then you can just go get the hell on. But if it's not, and you just don't like Jalen Hurts, you're going to have to accept he is the quarterback. And if we're going to win, it's going to be with Jalen Hurts. And you have to accept that he is a dominant force. One of the things that really impressed me was post-game, his post-game comments. you know, somebody said he really spread the ball around tonight. Like it was a mystery, you know, because he went to so much to A.J. Brown. And one of the press, oh, he really spread the ball. It was the intention to kind of get the ball out there. And Jalen Hurts had, to me, one of the most perfect responses to this question. He said, it doesn't matter if we win. Winning is the most important thing to me right now. Right. And it doesn't matter how that happens. And I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't matter how that happens as long as we win. If that means we pass to five different receivers, then that's how we win. If it means that I have to run the ball, you know, to win the game, that's what it means. If it means Miles Sanders has to run the ball, then that's what it means. Yeah. Perfect response to this guy. It isn't about, it's a game-to-game situation. In Detroit, he used his legs and he used A.J. Brown to win the game. And Sanders was involved as well. In this game, he spread it around. He saw the whole field. He took advantage of it and made wonderful plays. I mean, you can't say enough about the highlight reel play for the second touchdown, like you mentioned, with Goddard. And like you said, Goddard, the man who was covering Goddard was holding him. Goddard's trying to get a holding call. He's holding his hands up. And then he realized Jalen's coming up behind him. So he switches from receiver to blocker, which was just brilliant. I can't shift gears now away from Jalen for just a second. Goddard is, to me, such an underrated tight end in the league right now for everything that he does for his team. Considering all the teams in fantasy that went above him for what he brings to the table. Now, he may not score a ton of touchdowns, but, man, he comes up with some crucial third down catches. He really runs routes so well in the open field. And as a quarterback, it's invaluable to have a guy like that. And so, we've talked about, we've really glossed on that offense, is when you've got guys like Brown and Goddard that can get open, it does so much for you. And then you bring in Devontae being able to do that, it makes another difference entirely. Let's look quick at the Eagles' final numbers real quick. Like you said, we talked about Jalen, 333 yards passing, but Miles Sanders, like we mentioned, 17 carries. I am very happy with that. 17 carries, 80 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. Outstanding. Hurts, of course, had 57 yards rushing himself, so nearly 400 yards of offense for Jalen Hurts and the two TDs. Scott, you know, 4 carries, 19 yards, and then Gainwell had 2 for 7. Receiving-wise, Goddard, there he is, 5 receptions for 82 yards tonight. Smith, 7 for 80, and then A.J. Brown, 5 for 69. Quez, 2 for 69, that huge pass. Even Pascal got in the mix with 2 catches for 14 yards. So you got to love this when you look at these numbers and seeing the spread of that defense. It just makes you feel good knowing that we've got that, you know, and that we've got that going forward.
Yeah. One thing with Miles Sanders, if you can bring those stats back up.
Definitely.
One thing with Miles Sanders that's impressive is that his longest carry was only for 12 yards.
Wow, yeah.
That means he's running the ball consistently well. That means those 17 carries at 4.7 a clip, which are longest, not being a game breaker. We're talking 12-yard run. That's average. For a really, really good run, you know. So that just shows that, I mean, his average speaks for itself, but, you know, with the 12-yard long, you know, Scott had that one nice draw that was, you know, that 16-yard draw play that was just beautiful. And that was a really good play call, too, man. Clawing that draw play there, oh, man. They called it to Sanders as well, and they both worked. So there's something in that draw play. But, you know, plays like that start to work when your offense is clicking,
right?
You know, because you're setting things up so well, now you can do those okie dokes. You know, one of the good points that you made was Kirk Cousins with the blitz. You know, we were talking about the defense, and he didn't know, he threw the ball away. That was Kirk Cousins' 122nd start. You can confuse a quarterback with 122. He can't even see the blitz coming. It should be compliments it. You know, it should be. You know, like you said, he's knowing that, you know, he disguised it well. And it has to be said that, you know, this is a veteran quarterback. It's one thing if you do it to a rookie, but to have a veteran not even have a hot read, for Kirk Cousins to have nobody to throw the ball to, for him to just throw it away frantically, and it could almost got intercepted again.
Yeah.
So it says a lot, man, that, you know, he threw a lot of those junk balls to Jefferson. What was it? Slay's first interception? It was the one where Jefferson thought he was going to go inside, but he stuck out.
Right, and even right. Aikman, and it went behind him.
Like,
right.
Yeah, Aikman was telling him, you know, he was like, Jefferson, you know, you have to get across. You can't fake your quarterback out like that. And that's perfectly right. But the point that they're missing, he wasn't open to begin with. You can blame Jefferson for the route. He wasn't open. Slay was standing there the whole time just waiting for him to do either or. It didn't matter. They make it seem like, oh, if he go up top, that's the better. If he goes across, Slay beat him to that spot no matter what. He was right. He was inside of him anyway. The ball should have never been thrown is my point. It doesn't matter what route Jefferson, but is it, does it get to the point where Jefferson is such a good wide receiver where you just feel like, oh, I'll just throw it and just come down with it versus making the good throw? Slay was standing there the whole time. He had him locked in the whole time and saw the ball. It looks weird, of course, when Jefferson goes up, but he was covered regardless. If Jefferson goes up top, even if Jefferson does, even if he does put the ball where he wants it, Slay is still there. He just runs with you. Now the ball may go out of bounds or Slay may still intercept it because he's looking right at Cousins. That's why he made the break on the ball. He's just staring at Cousins, waiting for you to throw the ball. And even on that second interception, another one, just a jump ball. Like Kirk could just throw it up, and I pray that you could. That's not quarterbacking.
No.
That's not quarterbacking. That's schoolyard stuff. That's, you know, where's your hot read? You can't just throw it up. Mm-hmm. So that's why I text you, you know, Cousins just keep on gifting. Now the Maddox interception, that was a beautiful play
disguise.
By Maddox. Come down and disguise it and be able to get back because the throw was fine. But Maddox just made a better play on the ball. And what a play. Oh, what an interception.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with the disguising of the coverage. Because when they went to it, and it was a thing that Gannon had been so vanilla with his defensive packages. And to see them come out looking man and looking like they were going to do, you know, have pressure on that play and then to back out into a zone. I've never said that I don't want Gannon to not run a zone. I just don't want it to be so damn obvious that that's the package that we're in. And tonight was a different type of Gannon. And I hope that's what we see going forward. I really, really do. And that play is indicative of it because, yeah, Maddox lined up and then backed up quick into the zone. The pass was meant for Thielen, and he just took it away. He skied it like it was a jump ball in the NBA, and it was brilliant. And it was something that the Eagles needed in that second half when they started to slow things down for that defense to take over. Before I get there, I do want to mention one quick thing about the offense, and then we'll talk a little bit about the defense to finish up. Was the touchdown to Quez makes it 21-0, and the Vikings, you know, ended up having to punt toward the end of the half. I mean, they go 3-and-out and give the ball back to the Eagles with under 2 minutes to go. The Eagles could have hung it up there and gone into the locker room 21-7, no problem. But Sirianni wasn't about that. He calls a timeout, gives them an opportunity to make a first down. Then when they make a first down, they took another timeout, and then the Vikings gave us a timeout for some reason, which was surprising to me. And then we have the great play to Goddard down the seam, and now it's on. Now we just need a field goal. Getting that 3 points,
oh yeah,
going into the half with the Vikings getting the ball to start the second half was huge. That was big, and it made such a statement going into the locker room, and it helped both sides of the ball. Now, going back to the defense, we talked about Slay's interceptions, and just real quick, a little graphic on that, him giving the ball to James Harden, which I thought was kind of cool after the pick. He said he didn't even know James Harden was there until he saw him on the Jumbotron, which I thought was hilarious. He didn't know Bryce Harper was there, Bradley Cooper was there. A.J. Brown, his interview was great. He's like, man, the stars came out tonight. The stars come out.
Travis Kelce was there.
Kelce, wearing his brother's jersey, which is great. So coming out in the second half is that there was so many times that the Eagles needed stops. If it wasn't for penalties and what's so crazy about it, what is so crazy? The blocked field goal, the interception, all the penalties. These are things that last year would have lost us the game. Just one or a couple of these things. Mm-hmm. All these things did this time was prevent the Eagles from completely destroying the Vikings because they were so good in other aspects of it. So the second half, we have the interception down in our own goal line and the blocked field goal. Both of these things were opportunities for the Vikings to get back in the game. Both of these. And the Eagles said, no, not in our house. You get none. And that to me was a huge statement because, again, the offense didn't score any points in the second half, and we needed the Birds to come up big on defense to keep the score at 24-7. So not exciting from an offensive standpoint in the second half, but man, if you love defense, it just fired you up.
Yeah, man, it was solid, man. Like even Jalen said in the post game, you know, we wanted to, you know, finish some plays in that second half, but overall we got the win, and you know, defense played a hell of a game. So all of those things are true, man. And solid outing. Like you said, you know, that play, it was on a minute and 21 seconds on that Jake Elliott 38 yard field goal to end it. Yep, 75 yards. A minute 21, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, man, that was key, man, because maybe last year we just run it and didn't go out, but he had the confidence to say, let's push the ball down the field. And it can get risky on you because, you know, it's only 21-7. You make a turnover there, they kick a field goal or score. Now it really looks bad with them starting the second half having the ball. But, you know, Eagles had three – all our touchdown drives were over 80 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, first one 82, second one 82, and the third one was 85 yards. You know, so the offense is moving, and they're moving far. One little gripe is like, man, we still can't get anything out of special teams, but whatever. That's, yeah. You know, whatever. But, you know, we're still having to go the distance. You know, our defense, one thing they aren't doing is creating a lot of turnovers. We're like, you know, we bailed ourselves out with those interceptions, but they were all like damn near red zone. I know both Slays was, and I think Maddox was at least down there pretty far, but we're still starting. We're still having to go 80 plus yards for every score. That's just one thing, you know, better field position. Our field position game still hasn't improved is my point. I guess where I'm going with all that, whether it's defensively getting a strip sack at their 40, you know, getting on, starting with the ball on their side or maybe closer to the 50, we're going a distance almost. We have to go to the length of the field almost every scoring drive. It was the same last week. So, you know, getting some more turnovers and just stuff like that, man, I think we can improve on that and make the game, you know, just smoother. Yeah. Just smoother for us. We are having to work for a lot of our touchdowns. Besides the Quez one, we're still working. We're working hard. You know, these are, you know, 11-play drives, and then the 7-play yarder to when Wentz ran. I mean, Hurts. Excuse me, ran it in.
Slipped there.
Because I'm sitting there looking at Commander stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got them coming up. Yeah. You know, it's an excellent point. If they're going to give the ball to Blake Covey, maybe it's time for Devin Allen to get a shot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We've got to get a spark on the special teams. You're right. On the return game, we need help. And Quez is okay, but we don't have the guy that can get at least to the 40. You know,
right. That's all I'm asking. Yeah. 40. Not saying every time, just once in a while. We absolutely have no chance of getting to the 40 most time. We don't even think about our returner returning the ball, period. We just like, we'll get it on the 20-something.
And we were getting on the 17 to start a lot of those drives, and it would kill a lot of teams, but not.
Hey, man, and it's the small things, man. People don't look at that, even from an offensive standpoint. Right. Jay, like, damn, I got to go this whole field every time I have to score. Can y'all make it a little easier on me? You know, field position game is a thing too. And that's what keeps like bad teams in that may be bad offensively. It keeps them in games because like maybe the field goal position. Like I think that's kind of how the Bengals have been holding on a little bit here and there. And that's how Dallas have stayed in every game because they may not have this offensive firepower, but at least they are playing the field position game and getting you off the field. I mean, Micah Parsons, man, who doesn't want him? My goodness, that's the only Cowboy I could talk good about. He is good, man. It's a problem.
Diggs as well. I mean, that's the thing is you know, we talked about the Dak thing. I'm only going to talk about this a little bit. I did mention it. Is that, it was fun to make fun of Dak going out, even though it's not fun to make fun of somebody getting hurt. I'm just saying that it is fun to make fun of the Cowboy situation. Let's just put it that way. However, I said, I'm not going to dwell on it. I don't care about Cooper Rush. I know they still have one of the best defenses in the league. Vander Esch, Trayvon Diggs. They're still in it, and I don't know really who I'm going to root for in that Monday night game between the Giants and the Cowboys because, really, again, like an old friend of mine used to say, I just hope the ground opens up and swallows them both. You know, that's all I'm hoping for. But it is one of those things that if Cowboys win, does it help the Eagles a little bit out? Maybe. I kind of want the Giants to beat the Cowboys because I'm more, I want to say afraid, but I want the Cowboys down. I want them to lose as many games as possible before Dak comes back so that our main opponent is the Giants, because I think that the Cowboys are better than the Giants. We'll see when we get into our football preview edition coming up in a couple days. But, yeah, as far as digs go, I only have one little dig or a sadness about the game was that they got rid of the old logo, the Eagles, the one with the kind of the wings on the side type thing. I love that logo in the end zone. And now they've gone with a kind of more of a modern, it looks sci-fi-ish.
Minimalist.
Yeah, they must have got the girl from TikTok who did the Detroit Lions. Because it's really,
see that.
You haven't seen that. Oh, I'll have to play that sometime. Yeah. There's a girl that does like redesigns logos on TikTok, but it's a joke. It's all, she makes them horribly worse than they were before. So she was offered to do the Detroit Lions logo and she thought they said lines. So she just drew like three lines on a piece of paper and it was the Detroit Lions. It's hilarious. So now they're selling shirts in Detroit that have the Detroit Lions as a joke. But that's what that kind of that, the new logo reminds me. I'll get used to it. I get used to everything. At least they're bringing Kelly Green back for a couple of, you know, for at least one game this year. So I can deal with it. You know, it is what it is, but it was an amazing game going out all the way from start to finish. It was a lot of fun to watch. I hope we've got more of those coming on the year. And so we could put the Vikings to bed. Now we've had a little bit of a history with them going back to the NFC Championship game. A mutual friend of ours, a very close friend, Joe Edgel, that we're both friends with, that is no longer with us. He would have loved the rivalry, but not so much the games, because we always seemed to get the better of them, and he had to deal with the brunt of it. So he wouldn't have wanted to see any part of it. But one of the things that happened prior to the game and during the game is the subject of this week's... So, yeah, the Vikings fans were very bold, and now they have to suffer the wrath of their boldness. Because back in 2017, we all remember this. It was right before the NFC Championship game, and how dare they go to the steps of what is it?
Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky.
I think those are the Rocky steps.
The Rocky steps, like that. Yes. That is like the
informally known
Memorial Hall of Philadelphia. And and did their skull chant in our territory. And that's just bold. And so the first, I mean, it's a two-parter in Hell to the Gnaw. You got Jordan from his documentary. I took that personally. And then last night it was came full circle because the Eagles fans were doing the skull chant as a mockery to the Vikings that are out there. It's kind of funny because of all the teams in the NFL, I wouldn't think that the Eagles would build a rivalry up with Minnesota. But the problem is that, for some reason, the Minnesota Vikings look down on the Eagles and have this kind of this disdain or arrogance about them. Like in 2017, they were already writing the check to the Super Bowl. I think that's where the bitterness comes from. They had the miracle with Stephon Diggs in the game against the Saints to get to the NFC Championship game. They thought they were the team of destiny.
Right.
They were, the Super Bowl was going to be in Minnesota. And so they really just thought the check was written when they came into Philadelphia that night. And I think since then, the Eagles fans have this chip on their shoulder when it comes to Minnesota to be like, how dare you? You can't beat us. And that's where it came about last night. So another thing about last night that we can put to bed once and for all is the Jalen Reagor thing. You know, we get it. I'm not going to mention it anymore. He's gone. Jalen Reagor was drafted by the Eagles one pick before Justin Jefferson. They laughed at us, and they had every right to. And now Jalen Reagor is a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Talking about it was going to be his revenge game. I mean, seriously, dude, you really thought you were going to come out. And people were kind of getting on the Eagles fans for booing Reagor. I'm like, no, dude, you threw the gauntlet down too. Everybody was talking about this as Jalen Rager's revenge game. He's going to show what he could do. He had one good run that they did the end around. Nothing on the punt returns. Shut down every single time. And so this tweet came out after the game, and it was like this reporter asked Jalen Reagor what it was like with fans booing him every time he touched the ball. And he said, as expected, of course, it was a lot of stuff. It wasn't hard to block out, but I'm used to it. Yeah. Of course you're used to it.
Of course you're used to it.
You did not produce first round results as a first round pick. Maybe you shouldn't have been drafted where you were, and that's not your fault. Mm-hmm. But you have not lived up to the draft capital that you brought to the table. And that's what Eagles fans resent. Had Reagor just even been able to produce a 600 to 700 yard season, they wouldn't have been as bad on him as they are. Look at Nelson Aguilar. Aguilar had a lot of drops and got the brunt of the, but the Eagles fans don't treat Aguilar bad. They wanted the best for him. He lived up to where he was drafted. He just had bad drops for us. And he had a really big game with New England this past weekend. And most Eagles fans are like, good on you. Go, Nelson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's put the Jalen Reagor thing to bed. He's no longer a member of the Eagles. We don't play the Vikings anymore this year. There's no more bad blood. It is what it is. And we can move on. You agree?
I agree, man.
All right.
Just flush it.
Exactly. I need a flush button. So now start putting things to bed. I to tell you what, the next thing we're going to have to put to bed is coming up this Sunday, against the Commanders. We're going to put another thing to bed, and that's Carson Wentz. We got him twice this year, so we can't quite put it to bed until we play him the second time. But going into FedEx Field on the road, back on the road, in a tough environment, it's going to be a tough game. I'll say it right now. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk like Minnesota. I think this is a first division game. It's going to be interesting. So we're going to cover that on Wednesday here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So make sure you join us for that. We're going to cover that live, and then it'll be on your podcast providers the day after. And then after that, we're looking ahead on October 2nd, back at the Link against the Jaguars, and got to put it to bed. Doug Peterson. It's like, what is going on? Do they just schedule these games to kind of, it seems like they're everywhere.
Yeah, it does. It does, man. That's a good point. Yeah, especially with the Dougie P thing, it's like, man, we go from Wentz. I don't even consider Reagor. Reagor is only relevant because of how well Justin Jefferson turned out to be.
Right.
So it's not even about Reagor. It's about not having Justin Jefferson most of the time. Like that's what it really is about. It's just like, damn. So it wasn't even about Reagor against the Vikings. It was also about Justin Jefferson storyline as well, too. And then we have this Wentz, you know, number one, our second overall draft pick behind Goff. And then we have our former Super Bowl champion head coach, man. There's a statue out front of this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, now he's not coming there, granted. And I expect to see a lot of Eagles fans down at that field with how they played against the Lions last week, which we'll talk about in the preview, but how they played against the Lions last week. The Eagles may not be that bad, man. The Lions are averaging 30 points a game so far. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? man. And we know where our mistakes were on the Lions. We dominated them. We did to the Lions what, and everybody clowned us, like, oh, you guys only beat the Lions by 3. And then Washington goes out there and gets whooped. It was like 22-0 at one point.
Until they came back. Yeah. And come on. Yeah.
They look dead in the water.
They did.
Amon St. Brown is doing whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. Chart got shut down. But anyway, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for that match. I'm ready to talk about it, too. But yeah,
for 2.5 quarters, it was tough. And then Wentz led him on a comeback. And we're gonna cover that definitely in detail on our next podcast. We're going to get into, now the Vikings are over, 2-0, leading the NFC East, along with the Giants. Whatever. But we move on. We put that ahead, and we go into the Commanders, which is our Sunday game, and we're going to break it down. Thank you for joining us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. And also, don't ever forget to like and subscribe. If you see this and you want to know whenever we go live, just do that. We have a fantasy special coming up this week as well, so you want to know when we go live for that. So if your fantasy football is your thing, we'll cover that for you and give our advice. I will say that preview of this, we gave some good advice last week. Yeah. So if you listen to us, you know, we told you to start Lamar, told you to start Jalen Waddle, told you to start Cortland Sutton, all paid off. So want to tune into our fantasy special as well. So if you have a comment or question for us before any of the shows, you can always reach out to us at our email address. That's lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. So until then, I'm going to turn it over to my boy Tubby for his final words of the week.
Eagles move to 2-0. You love to see it. Appreciate everybody coming by the Where Goes There podcast. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go birds. We'll talk again soon, guys.